Well, today my conversation is with Mary Wilson, legendary singer and founding member of the Supremes. She'll be dancing on Dancing with the Stars September 16th, and she has a new book out, too, called Supreme Glory. That's going to be out on the 17th. Mary, thank you so much for talking with me here today.
It is my pleasure, Kim, and that is, I am a founding member. You know, Florence, Diane, and I all kind of founded we weren't the Supremes back then. We were the Primettes.
I know.
We were four members. And did you know that Paul Williams of the Temptations and Eddie Kendricks were the guys who founded our group, actually?
I didn't know. I knew
they were called the Prime.
Yeah.
And they named us the Primettes. And we were four girls. Four teenage girls. Well, I think we were... Florence was about 13 and a half. Diane and I were maybe 12 and a half, something like that. You know, we're quite young. So, yeah, it was really a wonderful time back in 1959.
Well, you know, I'm from Detroit, so, I mean, I just grew up on your music. It was all over the radio.
Oh.
And, you know, and I got to thank you because the Supremes really had such a heavy influence on my musical tastes, like, throughout the rest of my life.
No, wonderful. Detroit in the house, hey.
Yeah, I love it. Hey, now you did all the choreography that you guys did with the Supremes.
Yes.
Is that going to help you at all on Dancing with the Stars, do you think?
Well, I certainly hope so. Because let me tell you, it is not easy to learn the tango and the salsa and the waltzes and all that. Those are different kind of steps. And because back in the day, I was telling one of the other DJs, we were doing the chicken and the jerk, you know, and the swim and the things like that. So it's a little difficult, but I do believe that my skill in after like 50-some years of doing choreography, it'll come easier, you know, once I learn the moves themselves. So, yeah, I hope so.
Yeah, and now I heard or saw that you were born, though, in Greenville, Mississippi. So how did you end up in Detroit?
Well, it was during, I did. I was born in Greenville, and it's because back in the day that was called, it was the migration of black people from the South. And my parents, Johnny May and Sam Wilson, moved up north because they wanted, you know, for my dad to get a good job. He was a chef. And so that was part of what was happening. And I'm very happy because that's how I met Diane and Flo and Betty and Barbara Martin. So, yeah, that's how it happened. But I spent most of my life in Detroit. However, we always visited the South every summer. We would take the train, you know, and have our chicken and sweet potato pies and all those kind of things and go to Mississippi to visit our families there.
You know, Mary, I mean, music is on so many different platforms now. So when you're out and about just in your regular daily life, when you hear a Supreme song come on the radio or when you're hearing it on Spotify or something like that, what do you feel? What is there, you know, an overwhelming feeling? You're distanced from it a little bit now.
Well, you know, for me, first of all, let me explain. I listen to music, but I don't listen to our music. Because, you know, we sing it every day. You know, I'm out there singing Baby Love and stopping all those songs on stage. So I don't go home and put Supreme albums on by any means. However, I listen to jazz. I listen to Boz Scaggs. I listen to Marvin Gaye, of course. And so I listen to other kind of music. But when I hear the Supreme songs, say in the department store or in the elevator, I want to scream, hey, that's me. But I know if I do that, people look at me like I'm crazy. So I just, you know, kind of smile to myself and think about it.
Oh, man.
It's a wonderful thrill, you know, and it's always a surprise to hear that because you're saying, wow, you know, we little three black girls did dare to dream, and we did make our dreams come true. So it's a very wonderful thing to have that happen.
Yeah, I remember seeing where Whoopi Goldberg wrote that she remembered seeing you as the first time as a kid, and your arms were swaying. It was like a summer breeze, and I think she said it was on the Ed. Isn't this in the preface of your book on the Ed Sullivan Show?
She did write. Whoopi Goldberg did write the foreword. I asked her to write the foreword for my Supreme Glamour book, and she did. And I was so honored to have her do that because she kind of spoke about, I would imagine, what every little black girl was maybe thinking when they saw us on the Ed Sullivan Show or some of those other Flip Wilson or Sonny and Cher shows, all the Dean Martin shows, all those kind of shows, Hullabaloo, Shindig, you know. So I think that she kind of emphasized what maybe a lot of other little black girls, because when we grew up, you know, we didn't have a lot of black heroes on TV.
Yeah.
However, our parents in our homes, you know, our parents loved, you know, Lena Horne and Dorothy Dandridge, Ethel Waters, you know, they loved all those beautiful black women, but they were still in the black community, so to speak. So, it was really great that we now had become those kind of icons to the younger generation coming up now.
Yeah, see, I feel like I was so blessed growing up in Detroit. I talked to people who said that they went to schools and like only went to school with white people. I grew up in a mixed neighborhood. I went to Denby High School, which is on the east side of Detroit. And I remember a little girl that I went to school with, a black little girl, and she said, you know, like, look at the greeting cards. Like, there's never any black people on greeting cards. And so I kind of think I was almost sensitized to it. And you know, I was going to say what Whoopi Goldberg went on to say. She said, right there in front of me, three different shades of brown, gorgeous, stunning, stylish. It made my head explode. And, you know, looking at you, I remember the Supremes having the beautiful costumes and your hair and your makeup. Do you have any of those costumes or clothing left?
Well, that's what Supreme Glamour, my book, is about. It is a coffee table book based on the gowns. And yes, that's how I was able to photograph the ones that I have hundreds of them, because I have an exhibit that tours around. In fact, it opened up at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame Museum in Cleveland. They curated it for me with all the gowns that I had in my garage, all three of us, you know, because each time a girl would leave, you know, Florence unfortunately left, had to leave, and so I had her gowns, then Diane unfortunately had to leave, I have her gowns, and then all throughout the 70s, you know, I kept all those. Each time I had to change the group in the 70s, group members in the 70s, I had all those gowns. So, yes, I do. And that's how this book was put together, because of that.
Now, did you make them? Because I thought I recalled reading where you guys would scour stores sort of looking for fabric and fashion ideas.
Well, in the earlier days, Diane and I, Diane went to Cass Tech High School, where she learned dress design, I think it was called, I'm not sure. And then I had home economics in school. I went to school at Northeastern on the east side of Detroit. And we had home economics where they taught all the girls how to cook, how to sew, and all those kind of things. So she and I actually did make a couple of our outfits, our shorter dresses, in the earlier days. And then, of course, we went on to start buying beautiful gowns from Saks Fifth Avenue, you know, things like that. And after that, we had professional designers whom I have actually talked about in the book and told who they were and the people who designed them. Now, we met one lady. We had one girl who designed. Most of the designers were guys.
Wow.
As I think about it. And so this was Levita. She lived in San Francisco. When we went there and we performed at the Fairmont Hotel, she came up to us and introduced us to our first couture gown before we actually got into gowns. So she was our first couture designer, and a black young lady, Levita. So I have her gown in there as well. So yeah, we did make in the earlier days, but after that we started buying them, and then, you know, had the designers make them for us.
Well, I know your new book is Supreme Glamour, but you're also the author of Dream Girl and Supreme Faith. And man, if anyone has glamour, you've got it. So how do you stay so glamorous, Mary?
Well, I think all of us, you know, Florence Ballard, Dinah Ross, and I, we really enjoyed dressing up, you know, and our parents. Diane's mom was a beautiful lady, Mrs. Ross. She was our chaperone as well. And my mother, and, you know, in the black community, you know, our people dressed up. Our girls, our women dressed up. So we were used to that. And that's when we became teenagers, we kind of just followed suit, you know, and that was always in our, I guess it was in our genes, so to speak.
Were you
love it. Of course, we know Diane loves it, to be glamorous, and I do too, because that was part of who we were.
Mary, real quick, are you a part of the Motown, the Sound of Young America out in Austin, Texas at all?
You mean the exhibit?
Yeah.
Yes, I was there. Duke Baker of the Four Tops, myself, and Claudette Robinson of the Miracles, we were there for the opening. In fact, each of us have donated our gowns to the exhibit that is out there in Austin, Texas. It's at the LBJ Museum. Mm. And in fact, my gowns always toured various museums around the world. It's been in Detroit at the Detroit Historical Museum as well, and in London at the Victoria and Albert's Museum. So it tours everywhere.
Mary, thank you so much. It's my honor. Mary Wilson from the Supremes. Well, best of luck.
Thank you. I've enjoyed it so much. Thank you so much. I hope to see you soon. And don't forget to watch me on Dancing with the Stars.
I'm going to be calling in and voting on you.
And I want to win. Vote for me, everybody.